This is a summary of conservatism for the EdExcel A-level exam using all the key terminology. Conservatism is an ideology that believes in maintaining the status quo, as it has been shown to have evolved over many centuries to keep humans bound to a stable state. It evolved as a reaction against the new ideas emerging from the Enlightenment in order to preserve the traditions and institutions that had stood the test of time. Thomas Hobbes was a key thinker writing in the 17th century in the aftermath of the English Civil War that had seen a monarch beheaded and chaos ensue. This experience made Hobbes believe that in the state of nature, i.e. before civilization, humans were cruel to each other and chaos reigned. Life was, in his words, nasty, brutish, and short, and the state emerged to provide strong authority and protection for all. Without the state to enforce strong laws and boundaries on humans, then violence would be the only option. Humans therefore enter into a social contract with the state to accept and abide by laws in return for their own security. The people in authority emerged from a natural hierarchy of fixed classes, and society developed in an organic way, with each person fulfilling a specific duty that together formed a cohesive whole. Like different parts of the body perform different functions, different classes had different roles to play. In traditional conservatism, this cemented the view that aristocrats should hold political office. Although they may have had better education, traditional conservatives believe in human imperfection, i.e. that humans are psychologically, morally, and intellectually incapable of making good decisions. Therefore, traditions should be maintained as they have stood the test of time, because knowledge comes from real experience handed down through generations, a concept known as empiricism. One of those traditions that was handed down in the 18th century was that aristocrats should hold political leadership and will act in the best interests of all. Although this was not always the case, the belief in noblesse oblige dictated that with privilege comes social responsibility. Without people acknowledging their place in the hierarchy and performing their social obligations, there would be social breakdown into the isolation of self-interested individuals known as atomism. With this in mind, radical change is always avoided by traditional conservatives who see the role of the state only as to change to conserve, in the words of Edmund Burke, i.e. to change in order to maintain that status quo. Conservatives should make pragmatic decisions in response to circumstances and always take the most cautious approach. Conservatives therefore do not embrace change, but will make reforms in order to avoid rebellions and maintain the structures and institutions of the state. Edmund Burke was particularly vocal on this point, writing in the aftermath of the French Revolution in 1789 and looking with horror at the destruction that it had wrought upon France. One nation conservatism has many of the same characteristics as traditional conservatism, but the British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli in the mid-19th century argued that the laissez-faire attitude of the government towards growing capitalism during the Industrial Revolution was creating huge inequalities that was dividing the country into rich and poor. In order to preserve the status quo, conservatism would need to renew its commitment to paternalism and embrace additional social reform, such as the Second Reform Act of 1867. Disraeli also encouraged national unity around age-old institutions like the monarchy and Church of England, and pride in Britain's long successful history, the mid-19th century being at the height of the British Empire. This patriotic or jingoistic sentiment helped to heal the divided nation. Later in the 20th century, following the First and Second World Wars, Michael Oakeshott argued that changes needed to be considered carefully so that the cure is not worse than the disease, having seen firsthand the fascist dictatorships that had arisen in Italy and Germany during the 20th century, which had driven conservative nationalism into expansionist nationalism. In the 1980s, a new wave of thinking pioneered by Ayn Rand and Robert Nozick developed in reaction against the Keynesian mixed economy and welfare state consensus between the Labour and Conservative parties that had existed since 1945. Novelist Ayn Rand argued that the individual was being eroded by such a nanny state dependency culture. She accepted that humans were selfish creatures, but that this didn't matter, that individual liberty was most important to protect. Nozick similarly argued that state intervention into people's lives, such as taxation, infringed on the individual's right to spend money how they like. This neoliberal free market approach was combined with an anti-permissive attitude towards social matters such as drugs, abortion, and homosexuality to form the New Right philosophy. This is encapsulated in the economic and social reforms of Margaret Thatcher from 1979 to 1990. It wasn't until 2005, when David Cameron became leader, that a more one-nation approach was adopted by the Conservative Party, invoking ideas of the big society needing to work together. Theresa May's 2016 speech outside Downing Street when she became leader after the divisive EU referendum also showed elements of one-nation conservatism. She stated that there were burning injustices in the UK for the poor, and that life is much harder for the ordinary working class family than many people in Westminster realised. She stated that when new laws are passed, we'll listen not to the mighty, but to you. When it comes to taxes, we'll prioritise not the wealthy, but you. Boris Johnson, since becoming Prime Minister in 2019, has argued along the same lines of being a one nation conservative, with further funding for public sector jobs.